As we come to God's word, let's just ask God's blessing. Heavenly Father, we do rejoice. We rejoice that indeed there is good news. Good news that what you have done for us in sending your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that we've heard this story year after year, Christmas season after Christmas season. But Lord, we pray that indeed you would every year thrill our souls with the truth of what Christmas means. Lord, that you would help us to understand in new and fresh ways. That you would give us that real sense of rejoicing because Christ has come. And Lord, that our response might be one of worship. So bless us as we come to your word now. Lord, open our minds and our hearts, for we pray these things now in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. You know, there's a story of a middle-aged woman who knew her husband wouldn't have a clue what to get her for Christmas. So she left a list up on the fridge door. And it was just something simple that she wanted. And she wanted her husband to use his imagination. And she just wrote, "I would like something that would make me look sleek and elegant." And on Christmas Day, she came down excited to what the package might hold. Except the package was pretty obvious what it was. An exercise bike. You know, sometimes the things that we expect or the things that we say or drop hints that we want, we don't get. Sometimes we build ourselves up and we have these high expectations. And then when it comes to it, we find our expectations are empty. You know, our society builds itself up every Christmas, doesn't it? With all of the Christmas preparations, all of the decorations, the lights, the carol concerts, you name it. We have all these traditions that surround Christmas. And these traditions are lovely things if they bring meaning and if they help us to actually focus on the true message of Christmas. Because the true message of Christmas is that we get perhaps not what we want, but what we desperately need. God knew what we needed. And what did God give us that first Christmas? He gave us a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. That first Christmas, the angel announced the source of that joy that should be ours at Christmas. When he announced, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news." Good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And you know, today, tonight, I just want us to pause and just look at the response of the shepherds. And what that response is one of worship. One of true worship. Because true Christmas joy results in worship. Because when we understand what Christmas is about, our focus is turned to God, what God has done for us. And we see it all through the Christmas story, where the good news is given. And what's the response to that good news? For Mary, when she was told by Gabriel, her attitude was, "Be it to me as you have said." And she worshipped. Same with Zechariah and Elizabeth, John the Baptist's parents. The angels worshipped. The shepherds worshipped. The wise men worshipped. Simeon and Anna worshipped. I'm going to be looking at the wise men on Sunday, and then Simeon and Anna the following Sunday. But the true response, the right response, is one of worship. Because it's only as we worship, only as our focus is on God, on what God has done, that we can have certainty, that we can have hope that goes beyond a day on a calendar, or a present that we hope for, or one day with our family. The real meaning of Christmas is one of experiencing true worship. What's true worship? True worship is being able to approach God as our Heavenly Father, being able to give Him honor and glory. True worship begins with a true fear of God. Imagine for the shepherds how frightening it must have been. It was just another normal night, sitting around in the dark, perhaps with a flat fire flickering and the stars up in the sky. But then there was this sudden appearance of an angel. And as I said on Sunday, when an angel appears, it is a time to be scared out of your boots. Because in the Bible, when an angel comes, he comes with the glory, something of the glory of God. And he comes often with a message that will change your life. Sometimes it's a message of judgment. Sometimes it's a message of hope. Angels weren't uncommon in the Old Testament. But there's about 214 times when angels appear in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, there's about 186 occurrences where angels are mentioned. Angels were important because they were God's direct representatives. They brought a message directly from God to these people. And as I said, that message was often life-changing. Another thing to just remember, there were the angels. But remember who the shepherds were. The shepherds were on the fringe of the Jewish people. They were generally rejected because they were generally seen as being ruffians or people that were unholy. It was a despised occupation because they couldn't go to the temple. They couldn't do the ritual purifications and keep all of the laws. They weren't educated men. And according to the Mishnah, shepherds were not trustworthy enough to be used as witnesses. And according to another tractate, it tells them help was not to be offered to shepherds and to heathens or to Gentiles. To buy wool or milk for a kid from a shepherd was forbidden on the assumption that it would be stolen property. That's the way that shepherds were looked upon. They were looked down upon. And shepherds knew that they weren't some good people. So when these angels appeared, when they realized that God was speaking to them, they were absolutely terrified out of their shoes. And you know, their response was one of worship, one where they acknowledged the presence of a holy God. They were in fear, but they were also in awe and wonder. You know, so often when you talk about fear of God, people have this image of the fear of God as being that we are absolutely disabled by this fright and worry. But in the Bible, when it talks about having a proper fear of God, it's about acknowledging who God is, knowing God's character, knowing that we, our rightful response to God is one of worship. You know, it's something that we need to experience for ourselves, especially as we come towards Christmas. What's our response to the Christmas message? Well, it depends upon our understanding of what God was doing. If we think, well, Christmas is just a nice story that's not real, then we reject the message of Christmas. We reject God. We are not in fear of God. If we think that Christmas is a time of celebration, yet we don't have Christ at the centre, it is empty. But like the shepherds, we should be very much aware of what God has done for us. And it's really a fulfillment of the promise that God had made way back in the book of Zechariah, chapter 1. And it's quoted in Luke chapter 1. God promises to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. When we realize the true wonder of Christmas, we are brought to our knees with holy fear, but we are also filled with great joy, because although we've been living in darkness, in the shadow of death, yet the light has come. The hope of the world has come. Our salvation has come in the Lord Jesus. And true worship also involves, it rejoices in the truth of what God has done. The message that the angels gave to the shepherds was one which the Jews had been longing to hear, that the Messiah had come. God had been promising to send the Messiah for hundreds of years. People were expecting it, yet it just wasn't happening. And, you know, as we'll see on Sunday, there were so many who missed the true meaning of Christmas, that first Christmas. Their response was one which was wrong. We'll see that on Sunday, but it's when we realise what God has done, what God was doing at that first Christmas. We're told that the reason for the good news is because he is Christ the Lord. The words Christ and Lord we often use quite frequently, but we never actually perhaps fully comprehend what we're being told here. The word Christ means anointed one, Christos in Greek. It's the same as the Hebrew word Messiah, which means anointed one.
It's what God had promised the people of Israel, that he would send a Savior, a Messiah. And in sending Jesus, anointing Jesus for this mission of salvation, that what God has done in the Christmas story is he has broken in to this world. Because we're told that it's not only the Savior, the Messiah, the anointed one, the chosen one, but he is Christ the Lord. The word the Lord is used of God. The term Lord. So what is being said here, that he is Christ, who is God, the Son of God. If you look in the other verses in this chapter, you find that it does the word the Lord refers to God, not Jesus. The point that is being made in this promise is about the nature of Christ. That Christ is not just a chosen one, he's not just anointed one, he's not just a good man who dies on a cross, he's not just a good teacher, but he is fully God, fully man. That he is the Son of God incarnate. You know, as we reflect on who Christ is this Christmas time, the baby Jesus is the one who is Christ the Lord. The baby Jesus is the one who is our Savior. And it's because of this that we can experience peace. As the writer to the Hebrews says, therefore, since we have such a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness. But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This is why the angel can say in verse 14 that this message means peace. Peace to men on whom God's favor rests. This peace that comes at Christmas is this peace that is about our relationship with God. It's about our standing with God, about the certainty and the hope that we have because of it. Yet so often the Christmas message is one which is misunderstood. People fail to understand what this means. You know, the first nativity scene was actually erected by St. Francis of Assisi in 1223. And Francis wanted the people of his time to, again, understand that this Christmas story that they heard every year was a real story. It was about a real baby. It was about a real Savior who was born. It was about a real angel who came. It was about real shepherds. It was about real worship. And Francis erected this nativity, and he wanted people to understand and to actually accept the truth of the Christmas message. You know, our culture promotes the idea that, well, Christmas, it's a nice story, isn't it? It's lovely. It's a lovely time of year. And there's all the tinsel and mistletoe and wine and all these things. But yet they miss the point about who Jesus really is. They end up rejecting the reason for Christmas because they reject Christ. You know, as we come closer to Christmas, what's our response going to be? The only proper response is true worship. It results in praising God. And that's what we're told in the passage. That the angel said that this news was not just for the shepherds, but it was for all the people. The gospel, the good news, is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. That's what Paul says in Romans. This good news that Christ has come, that Christ really is the Messiah, the Lord. You know, Christmas is something which confronts each and every one of us. We may not realize it, but the Christmas story confronts each one of us because we have to give a response. The angel said, "Today I give you good news, which is for, instead of all the people, insert your name. This good news is for you, Ross, for you, Michael, for you, Hildegard. It's for me. That good news is for you. Your response is you can either reject it or you can accept it. There is only the two. You can't sit on the fence. What is your response when you realize that Christ has come for you personally? Makes all the difference. There's a story in December 1903 that after many attempts at trying to fly, the Wright brothers were successful in getting off the ground and their flying machine actually flew. And they were so overjoyed that they sent a telegraph to their sister Catherine. And in the telegraph they said, "We have actually flown 120 feet. We'll be home for Christmas." And when Catherine received it, she took it to the editor of the local newspaper, and she was so thrilled. She showed him the message, and the editor looked at it and said, "How nice, the boys will be home for Christmas." The fact that the world had changed because the Wright brothers had actually flown. He missed the point totally. You know, do we miss the point? Do we miss the good news of Christmas? Is it something that we just sort of don't think about? Well, this evening, pray that each one of us is challenged. That each one of us puts our name in that. That there has been born for us, for me, for Graham, a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And the only true and right response is to worship, is to bow before our Heavenly Father and praise Him for what He has done. And to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. And for the shepherds, we're told that, and we'll go into the responses more on Sunday, that it impacted them so much that they went out and they told everyone that they met about what had happened. And I'm sure that many of the people that they met thought, they're stark raving mad. They're drunk. They're idiots. Yet it didn't stop the shepherds. because they were so impacted. They worshipped, they praised God, and they shared the good news with those that they met. This Christmas time, pray that each one of us might have an opportunity of sharing the good news with those round about you. And I pray for each one of you that you truly have a blessed Christmas. Amen.